America's here I come.
And never quit.
We work for the fans. We work for the 71 Division I teams. Inside Lacrosse podcast continues with Tim Kenny, athletic director of St. Bonaventure, who just yesterday announced the addition of men's lacrosse. Mr. Kenny, thank you so much for your time. And for those lacrosse fans listening to this podcast unfamiliar with St. Bonaventure, can you give a little bit of a peek into what life is like on campus?
Well, first, let me thank you, Terry, for having me on. It's great and it's an exciting time here. St. Bonaventure is nestled in the southern tier. They call the Enchanted Mountains of New York and Western New York, probably about an hour and 20 minutes south of Buffalo, in between Corning and Jamestown. So it's kind of, it's in a little remote place, but not bad, but you're close to, you can get to where you need to go in not much time. But it's a great, it's a small campus. We have about 1,700 students, and it's growing, which is nice in this day and age. It's a Franciscan university. So the spirit of the Franciscans is more about the peace, the poor, the planet, really that type of feeling. And you get that feeling on this place. And it's a wonderful place that people, when they get here in this school, they just love the place. And when they leave, it becomes part of their lives forever in a way that in some institutions you don't get that. And there is a connection here that people make that make it someplace that is so special that they will do anything to help this place. And so what I say that only because when I look at the people and I look at everything around here, sometimes it gets lost because it is in a somewhat remote area. But the people who come there tell you, don't worry about that. When you get here, you're in a community that is very supportive. It's a great institution, and you can do lots of great things coming out of this place. So all around me, I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe in the place. I don't take a job just to be a to have a job. I believed in it when I came across this campus, and I look at it now and I say, you know, here's a quick story. When I was on my interview, my wife and I were walking across campus, and I was at UMass previously for 11 years as a senior associate athletic director. And we're walking across campus and a professor stops me and says, hey, welcome. Evidently they knew I was on campus interviewing. And he said to me, he goes, we're going to get you next year. And I was thinking basketball because we had just beaten St. Bonaventure twice that year. And I looked at him, I said, you think so? He goes, yeah. And he walked away and he turns around and he goes, and our swimmers are going to get to even more so, trust me. And he was talking about the swim team. I started laughing, going, I thought he was talking basketball, and he really meant the swim team. And I said, right then and there, I turned to my wife, I said, I don't think anyone knows at UMass we have a swim team. And so that kind of exemplifies the type of place it is that people care. You know everybody around. I think I know everybody on this campus. And you don't find that in the bigger places. So it's a real neat institution.
And so now you'll be bringing upwards of 50 men's lacrosse players on campus. And, you know, speaking with you prior to recording this, I got a little bit of your background. Long Island native, played high school lacrosse. As you mentioned, your previous stops in athletic administration include UMass and then Stony Brook, two storied lacrosse programs. Obviously, the location of St. Bonaventure avails itself to many talented lacrosse players. But what about adding men's lacrosse? Really, the question boils down to why.
Well, we're in a stage here now at St. Bonaventure where we've just gone through a complete campus strategic plan. And part of that is to solidify our position in the marketplace to make it an attractive school for students to attend, and to grow it and to make it bigger in this time and age. This is well documented that smaller private schools are having a hard time attracting kids because of whether it's cost, you know, junior colleges are becoming, 2-year schools are becoming more popular because of, location, you name it. There's a bunch of things that go into it. So when we were looking at it from an athletic standpoint, the first thing we asked was, how can we be part of the solution? And so we looked at our current teams, at our roster sizes, noting an opportunity there, and to say, hey, we're not even close to the average on teams with with our current team. So we're kind of playing around with those numbers to say, okay, what would it take to get to these numbers? And that's whether it's number of kids, resources, facilities, you name it. We've kind of gone down the list. So we got to a point there and we said, all right, what do we not have that might also help? And what fits us? So we started to look. And when I got here 2 years ago, one of the first questions I had was, why don't we have men's lacrosse? We have women's. It was started in the early 2000s. And I said, why don't we have men? Well, they had it. It was, and then because of budget cuts back in the mid-90s, they brought it down to club status because there was a number of different issues. And at that stage, it was the NCAA had started changing the schedule requirements. St. Bonaventure was playing a significant number of D3 schools because of travel. It made it easier. And there weren't as many Division I schools in the area yet. And the ones that were, you would get really beaten up, like a Syracuse or a Cornell. So we looked at that and I said, okay, there's the history. I met some alums who played back then who still have a passion for the place. One alum was still coaching the club team. And we were talking about it. And we said, well, let me take a look. I'm just new here. Let me figure out. And then jump forward once again to the strategic planning portion. We said, okay, what could help on that side of it that's going to help the school, but also is a great fit for us and we can be competitive? So we looked at men's lacrosse. And I've spoken to a number of ADs at different similar institutions, and they said it's a no-brainer. It checks off so many boxes. Number one, where we are geographically. You mentioned that, Terry, and you're right. While not in the Olean area in high schools, you name it, it's around us. We're surrounded by it, whether it's Buffalo, Rochester, Corning, on the reservation, Seneca Reservation in Salamanca, over in Ohio, you name it, there's so many there. So that was the first thing. The second was looking at the demographic of the school. The demographic of the kids where you tracked are similar to the demographic of high school lacrosse players. They come from Catholic schools, some not as many this day and age, but they still do. They come from areas where lacrosse is a hotbed. And we said, well, this is a no-brainer on that side. So we checked that box off. We looked at, from a standpoint of competition-wise, what can we do? Well, if you look in a, let's say, five-hour radius drive, I think there was like 27 schools in that radius. Made sense. We checked that box off. We said, okay. And then we said, you know, can you compete? Yes. We know we can do that. It's going to take a little bit of time. Check that box off. And we said, is it a beneficial to the school? Yes. So we started checking all those boxes off. And we said, you're right. These people who said it was a no-brainer, the right thing to do. So we said, all right. Well, we started to investigate it, what it would take. We did a lot of research. I have a lot of colleagues, whether they're lacrosse coaches or athletic directors, who were great with me sharing their budgets, what they do, how they do it. And I was able to kind of put together a pro forma to say, if we did this, here's the benefit to the school on all these boxes I just checked off. And once again, my last words were, it's a no-brainer. So when we came to that point, our board of trustees said, all right, you're right, it's a no-brainer, let's go.
And you hit the ground running, and certainly it'll be very exciting for lacrosse fans to hear. Not only is there lacrosse at St. Bonaventure, but lacrosse with an eye towards being competitive at your level in the not-too-distant future. And so much of that is dependent on who you put in charge of the program. So, you know, obviously there's so many different directions that a coaching search can go. But when you think about it, do you have a model or a kind of profile in mind for what the ideal coaching candidate would be?
Well, it's interesting because you could be a great coach and have tools and you have stuff at your disposal, but if you come into a situation like this where you have to build, you might not be as effective. And so I'm lucky. As we mentioned, I was at UMass for 11 years. So Greg Canella is a dear friend of mine. So he's a resource I use. Bill Tierney is a friend of mine out of Denver. And so in talking with them, we had this conversation to say, and Bill said it perfectly, you need the right guy. And the right guy at first is not the right guy you're going to need in 5 to 10 years. but you need the right guy now. So I look at that, and I asked him, I said, what do you think the right guy would entail? And he goes, obviously he has to know how to coach. But that is a part. You got to know how to build, and you got to have some patience as to putting a process together for the team portion. You know, we have the overall general process with budget going forward and what we're going to be able to allocate for resources. But really is what type of players you're looking for, how you spread out the classes, because you're bringing in, you know, you're going to have to field the team, but you don't want to have all complete freshmen at times, because then you'll fall off a cliff. If you only have a little bit of attrition after 4 years, you got to reload everything again. And he goes, you have to be able to see how you can spread it out. And then I look at also from the public relations side. That's a big part. Somebody who's not afraid to go out there, shake hands, help. And I'll give you a perfect example. We hired Chelsea Rosick. She's our women's coach last year. And our women's program had not been doing well. And there was a number of reasons for that. We didn't have a turf field for years and years and years, and that was hurting us in recruiting. We were playing on a field that was not good, and so coaches wouldn't stay. We would have turnover quickly. You didn't have any continuity. Well, 3 years ago, Tom and Michelle Mara were so generous and donated to have a turf field complex built with lights and everything. That started the process of getting them back on track. We brought in Chelsea in. She's got to start from scratch. She came in, I think she had 17 kids on the roster. Now, that's a small number, if you think about that, for women's lacrosse. And so she was kind of building it from the ground up. But what she was able to do is not just building the program. She's gone over, and her and her team and her coaching staff have gone to the Salamanca Reservation, the Seneca Reservation in Salamanca, and have worked with the young girls there, which they don't have a high school program. They didn't have an organized program for girls. Well, they're really, really close right now because of the work she's been doing with them to starting a high school team for the first time ever. And so it's that mindset of building. And I think that I'll keep using that word, because that's the type of individual we need to do. I've been blessed where I've been in positions where I got to UMass. It was a downturn. Things, you know, UMass is a great name, but underneath it, there was a lot of work that needed to be done. We were able to roll up my sleeves and do it. At Stony Brook, we brought it from Division III to Division I. Now, we had Division I lacrosse already. It was one of the sports that was already elevated. But to do that, I was able to roll up my sleeves. So these type of jobs, to me, are what I'm comfortable with, not being inserted into a cog in the machine just to keep the machine running. It's no, you're building. So I'm looking for someone like that that's going to want to take on the challenge of building this and building it into a real contender.
And when you talk about building, one of the elements that's so important is both the foundation as well as the carrot, the aspiration, the top, the pinnacle that you're reaching for. And your conference landing spot can have so much of an impact on both of those things, particularly for giving your roster an opportunity, a second bite at the apple to compete for an NCAA tournament berth. And for so many programs that have never made it to the NCAA tournament before, startups or long established but still building, like you say, that is pivotal. And so for St. Bonaventure, which its home conference is the A-10, doesn't currently sponsor men's lacrosse. However, three other A-10 schools do sponsor men's lacrosse: UMass, like you mentioned, St. Joseph's, and Richmond. And then also including, you know, some of the other prospects, whether it be the NEC, the MAC, which is obviously very geographically oriented toward your location, or the prospect of an altogether new conference that only sponsors men's lacrosse. You know, the possibilities abound. In terms of just this very early stage, what's your thought process for a potential conference landing spot for St. Bonaventure's men's lacrosse team?
Well, it's interesting, and you're right. There are a number of options that we can look at, and we started conversations earlier, knowing that we were going to do this. But the conversations were, hey, if we did this, would there be a possibility to join a conference? And so I'm looking at it, and I'm going, there's a couple of options. Now, to be presumptuous to think that we would just say, hey, we're going to go to this one, that's hard at this stage, but we've had conversations with a number of them, and you're right. There's some that are geographically perfect for us. There's some others that are competitively perfect for us. There's some others that may be too high that we're looking for people. And we're going through that stage now. And I think the way we've set this up in the development of the program is when we hire a coach and we're not starting immediately, we're going to have a year, we're going to be able to work some of these things out in short order, I believe. And I'm a very positive person thinking this way, because I think what St. Bonaventure is going to be able to offer is significant in the sense of a conference affiliation. Now, does that mean we form something? Obviously, people have asked me about the Atlantic 10. Well, you got three, now it's going to be four. Is it close? I don't think that's a reality yet, because there's a diversity in the type of programs between Richmond, who just started, who's doing a phenomenal job. Keith Gill is a dear friend of mine, their AD, and has been great during this process with me, helping me how he did it. But they had a really established club program, so they were able to make a jump and be competitive almost instantaneously, which was phenomenal. To St. Joe's, who Don DeJulia, the AD down there, they took a step back a little bit and said, hey, we want to be competitive. We got to build this thing. So they left the CAA and went to the Northeast Conference, which now has started to show fruits of that decision. You know, the way that program has been playing, they've been doing fantastic. And then, of course, UMass, who has been a perennial top flight program in a sense, and they're in the CAA with some really top programs in Towson and Hofstra. I mean, you look at what Hofstra's doing this year. It's phenomenal. And so I look at that and I say, well, yeah, we could see if we could jump into CAA, but then what good would that be in building the program? It's an option, but we really are going to lay it all out on the table in short order here to say, what's the best one with our conversations? Who is amenable to taking us? And by taking us, what does that mean? Do they want us as a member with provisions at first to make sure we're doing it the right way? Do they want to take us right away? I think that it's a little premature to say what our options completely are based upon those, the underlying facts and circumstances that each conference might, dictate. So we're going to work on it. But we have had a lot of number of conversations already, and we're going to look at the options and say, what's the best fit for St. Bonaventure, and what's the best fit for us to really create this program, hit the ground running, and within short order, really have some significant success in the lacrosse landscape.
And so with a coach and a conference, those plans, the awareness of the importance and necessity there on the table, the last piece is support, and that manifests itself in so many different ways, including the ability to hire assistant coaches, scholarships for athletes, facilities and facility improvements. You talked about how instrumental that last piece was for the women's team. So I know fitting into a strategic plan, there are elements of this that have already been, if not decided, then certainly outlined, and then there's probably still more work to be done. So from a what you can share standpoint, what is your impression of how St. Bonaventure's support for its men's lacrosse team is likely to shake up with some of your peer institutions?
Well, I think we're positioned very, very well. And once again, you're right. You mentioned the strategic plan. And the way we did this was we put together a five-year plan, not for just lacrosse. It's for adding lacrosse, but also all of our sports to increase the support. And how we would do that is, looking at numbers of how many kids are coming in, what does the school benefit from that, and then taking some money back to increasing the competitiveness. Now, with a sport like men's lacrosse, which we're adding, we looked at it and said, okay, we're going to go from here to here to here to a roster, let's say, of 45 to 50, depending. You can't always pinpoint the number. We said, this is what it's going to take for us to be competitive, not just have the program, but to be competitive. So in an item like scholarships, the first year, and this could change with our coach, because I don't want to be presumptuous to think I know the exact way to divvy out the scholarships and the way we want to do it. But right now I could say that we have six scholarships that'll be the coach will be able to start with in the first year. And then it'll go up to 8, it'll go up to 10, and then it'll go up to 12. That's the plan right now. Now, the coach could say, I only need 4 the first year because I want to spread it out and do the rosters the right way, you know, do the classes the right way so you don't go off a cliff and we could get sustained success quicker and keep it going. But we have those built in already. We have, I think we have a very good, when you talk about the equipment budget, we have a great deal with Adidas right now. That we were going to go back to them. They knew we were looking at this. Adding a sport does not fall into this deal, but they've made a big push now in lacrosse. They revamped their lacrosse offerings. I think they stopped in 2010. And we were with Adidas at UMass, and we knew back then it wasn't the right thing. But now what they're doing, I think I feel confident, but we'll talk to some other places and we'll decide what's the best fit for us to have it on equipment, travel. We pretty much, we know, I don't want to say it's regional, but with the number of quality teams we have around, we don't have to go crazy and go out and you know, travel all the way down south to play a game because we have so many quality people around. And obviously RPI, what we'll be bringing at the beginning might not be beneficial to the schedule, so we have to look at that. But I think we will be able to have plenty there, so we feel good about the travel budget and how we want to do it. And then you know, we're going to hire an assistant coach with the head coach. The head coach will pick the assistant, so we'll have two full-time individuals the first year when we don't even have the team helping work and put this together and recruiting. And then we'll add a third assistant as I think it's in year two to get that going. And so we feel very good in the way we have the funding plan to set us up for success. If not, I don't want to say immediately, but in the very near future of the program.
Well, Tim Kenny, I've been around a lot of these types of announcements and conversations, and from a soup to nuts perspective, I've got to say everything you just laid out is exactly in line with what the most competitive startups have aimed to do and successfully accomplished over the course of the first 5 years of the implementation of their program. So I think for those who were rightfully had questions. I mean, you know, there are a lot of different ways, a lot of options for how to launch a program. You know, you've answered them, and in my opinion, you've answered them satisfactorily. So I really appreciate your time on the Inside Lacrosse podcast. I'm really excited for you and the St. Bonaventure athletic community, as well as the lacrosse community at large. The addition of a new men's D1 team is about the most exciting thing that happens in the sport whenever it does happen. So once again, thank you so much for your time, your insight, and your appearance here on the Inside Lacrosse podcast.
Well, that, you made me feel good about that, at least. You know, we got the right plan, at least, hopefully. that's great. But, Terry, I appreciate you having me on, and it is an exciting time, and it's something that everybody could watch and see how this program grows. And if it goes the way we envision it, we're going to be very proud of our program, and it'll be a benefit to the Division I lacrosse ranks as a program that will bring competitiveness, a good name, and hopefully in the future, a championship.
Hashtag embrace the grind. We work for the fans. We work for the 71 Division I teams. Hashtag don't quit.